Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love.
We're studying 1 and 2 Peter. The book is by Max Lucado. You can look in it if you want to. But I was just wondering if y'all remember about what time is this book written?
60s.
In the 60s, right? So about 64 AD. Do you might know when the Temple of Jerusalem is destroyed?
70s.
Yeah, like 67 to 70, somewhere in there. So that temple being destroyed is one of the ways, it's just a historical event that is used to date a lot of these books, and a lot of them fall into before temple, after temple. So this is a before the temple is destroyed letter. The Gospels are, I believe, all written. No, that's not true. So they're written right around this time as well. Paul's letters are written earlier. So anyway, this is around the time the temple is destroyed. Written by... who do we think?
That's the guy's name. Saul?
Yes.
That wasn't it.
Silas.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Paul and Silas. Silas. We think it was written by Silas because there's a reference at the end of 1 Peter to Silas. The teachings or the dictation of
Peter.
That was easy. Mainly concerned with what kind of threats. Okay, this is 1 Peter. There are two kinds of threats that, or at least the way Max Lucado lays it out.
Did the internal and external.
Right. So first right. Peter,
external, I thought.
Maybe more external, although Cheryl has a good argument that internal and external is a false dichotomy. And actually, these threats kind of overlap, and I think they do. I'm just going with what he said. And they're written to five churches.
Here we go.
Extra credit if you know what these are without looking.
Feel free. I only remember the one because it sounds funny, the Bithynia, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to really say
I don't
it. But
either.
Bithynia. Pontus.
Pontus, yep.
Good job.
A is Asia.
Galatia, Pontus, that's the G and the P. B is Bithynia.
A is Asia, and C is Cappadocia.
But anyway, so that was considered the Asia Minor area that these letters go to. That was from last week. This week, we are moving into the very first chapter of 1 Peter. And the book only has it in NIV and NK, New King James, if anybody wants to dare read that one. I would just invite if anybody would like to read it. You can read, pick your version. NRSV is what we usually use at the church, but don't feel...
I like the way it's... in the message.
You can read the message too. Yeah. You want to read Harriet?
Yeah.
That might be good. Y'all compare what she's reading to yours because the message gets
It says, I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. No one is missing, no one forgotten. God the Father has an eye on each of you, and has determined by the works of the Spirit to keep you obedient through this sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold is in the fire comes out proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. And Jesus wraps this all up. It's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you loved him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for. You'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. The prophets who told us this was coming asked a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah's spirit let them get in on some of it. And that Messiah would experience suffering followed by glory. They clamored for to know who and when. They were told that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this.
As we're reading this, what is our inheritance? How does Peter describe pure regenerating faith? And then how, and here's the harder question, I think, is how does your hope in Jesus help you endure trials? What did y'all talk about?
Well, Judy and I talked about, as far as, I don't know how we got exactly where we got, but, you know, we were talking about faith, and I was, we were talking about how it's best, or we want to keep faith at the front instead of at the back, because it's so easy when things are going wrong to not think, not as your default, go to faith. I have a sister whose default is to go to faith. And I really wish I was more like her. I mean, when something bad is happening to me and I text her, she immediately says, but remember, you know, whatever, God is in control, or everything will work out, you know, that type of thing. And I wish I was more like that. I wish my faith was more right in the front. I'd be able to cope with the everyday struggles better, I think.
One of the things that I read was where he wrote at the beginning under reflection that it's a coincidence that hope and cope are rhyming words. You know, sometimes we cope with a lot of hope. Sometimes we cope and there's no hope, and then all of a sudden there is hope because something good happens to give you that hope, like COVID shots.
Well, I also have to remember what my sister used to say, this is not my home down here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one way of coping is to sort of rewire your reaction. So that I love the idea that you go to faith as your first stop instead of panicking, running in circles, crying, all sorts of things that I like to do first.
Yeah, that's so much more fun, though. Screaming and throwing your hands up and all that.
Yeah.
I think what I do, I just say, well, I'm not in charge, God is. And that's that's a comfort to me, because sometimes I mess things up big time, but he doesn't do that. But I'd like to remember always, no matter what, God's in charge.
Yes, he is.
My mother used to say, if you think this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life, you haven't lived long enough yet.
Yeah.
And
but he's always there to lead.
There's always something worse that can happen, you know, so you just keep on trucking, and you keep your faith knowing that you'll get through this.
I think all you have to do is look around you. You know, if you're feeling down and being pitiful and all that, all you have to do is look around you. Even now with all the things that are happening to us, you know, some days I feel like it's really, really more than I can take. But all you have to do is just look at whatever, you know, look at what everybody else is going through. So
somebody has it worse than you.
Always. Exactly. There's always somebody that's in a worse mess than you are.
Getting out and doing the Meals on Wheels is very good for us from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We regularly see people who've got problems that are a lot worse than any we're ever going to have.
Well, are you still doing that, George?
Hello?
Yeah, I do the Marietta route the second and fourth Mondays, And, you know, we deliver full weeks now. We don't deliver every day.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then yesterday, Tuesday night, the gal sent out a panic call. They didn't have anybody to do Mableton route yesterday. So we went down and took that. So it got us into a whole new area of the county where we never had been very much. And they are people who have a lot of problems that the people we deliver to in Cobb do not. Not in Cobb, but up in Marietta do not. You see some more difficult situations there.
Mm-hmm. So one good way of coping is not only getting your head out of your own life, like trying to kind of see what's going on around you, but actually helping someone who could use it. That's really powerful too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, as you all know, my back drives me up the wall all the time. But I always remember, and I always say to myself frequently, there are a lot of people that are a lot worse off than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been so blessed. And I have no reason to complain, because there are people that are worse off than I am. I'm so thankful. You know, I think we forget a lot of times to thank God for all that he does. I mean, you know, I have to thank him that I've got money to pay my bills.
Yes.
A lot of people don't. And I have a warm bed and a warm house. And those are things that, there are no little blessings or small blessings. They're all big blessings. And
amen.
But I think it's okay. I think it's okay to complain every now and then.
You think? His
shoulders are big enough. I mean, he can handle it.
That's right. He can handle it. We can't, but he can. And I know that there are people that are worse off than I am.
To me, that's what helps me, is I can cry to God.
Yeah.
And not worry about being rejected, or he'll turn it against me or anything like that. I know that I can just lay it all at his feet.
I think he wants us to ask him for help, and he I think he appreciates it when we thank him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and just as a kind of closing thought here, we were reading through this and noticed that in verse 6, it says, "You greatly rejoice. Right now, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed," which is a lot of big words. But I take it to mean that we shouldn't look at our life, we shouldn't look at difficulty as a sign that our faith isn't strong enough, or that God doesn't love us, or that, you know, that the blessing is not just in the good times. The blessing is even in the trials. There's, there's something being accomplished.
You know, sometimes we have to look at, you know, what our parents say. My mother another thing she used to always say when things would get bad, "This too shall pass."
Yes.
And when I was a teenager, early teens, and through that, my father left and everything else, and we didn't have anything. And my mother's faith was that this too shall pass. God won't keep us here. This too shall pass. And it did, you know, and something else came along, but that angst went away, because it too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
Let's close with that. That's a good place to end. There's more pages to this chapter if you guys happen to read more. We can't get through everything every week. So we'll pick up. We'll be on chapter 2 next week. But we will close. If anybody wants to, there is a prayer in the book. I was just going to read it, but if somebody else wants to pray us out.
Let us pray. Father, help us to see the joy that is before us. You have given us such a great treasure and inheritance, the promise of salvation. Forgive us for losing sight of our glorious future. Renew our vision and help us strain toward the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And when we face trials, remind us that you have won the ultimate victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this group and this chance to meet together and study your word. God, we are so grateful for this chance to just talk and catch up. We miss this during our normal weeks. And we are looking forward to the day when life might return to a little bit more like normal. We pray for all the prayer requests that we've named, those that are unnamed. We lift those up to you. And we know that you know what we need and before we even say it. And we know that you are at work. Show us how we can be your hands and feet in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on a second.